Hi, you're listening to a podcast brought to you by the teaching team at New Life in North Lincolnshire. New Life is committed to helping transform people and transform places through the love and power of Jesus Christ. We hope you, in some small way, will be blessed and transformed by this message.
Good morning. Are we all okay? Nice and high, that's good. Good to see you all. This morning we're continuing our series today, or I'm wrapping up the series today, on restart. So things that, as we think it kind of spiritually about getting back into some of the things in this, as I was just mentioned, this new season, what do we need in our bag? Kids are going back to school, they've got all their stuff ready for the new term. What do we need as God's people in our bag? And we've been looking at a couple of different things already. We've been talking about Bible reading and how we understand that, and prayer. Dina was looking at prayer last week and thinking about how we approach that as God's people. This morning, I'm going to be talking about giving and how we think about finances and what we bring as an offering to God. So this morning, if you have your Bible, we're going to be looking at 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. And there's lots of Bible verses that we could look at, but for me, a few key principles come out of those chapters, so 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. So if you do want to turn there, you can. And then we're just going to pray and get started this morning. Okay, let's take a moment. Let's pray as we open the Bible this morning. Father, we thank you for our time together. We thank you for being able to gather as your people where we can worship you, honor you, lift your name high, and receive from you. And we pray as we think about generosity and giving, Father, we pray that you will speak through the words of the Bible to us. We pray that our hearts will be open and ready. And Father, I just pray that the things that you want to communicate to us will come through what I share this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, before we get into the financial bit and talking all about that, the thing is, one of the hallmarks of the Christian life, I think, is that we are people who are generous. All right, now there's lots of people in the world, not believers, they are generous. But I do think for God's people, for us, for you and me, if we're saying, yes, I'm a follower of Jesus, there's something that flows from our life is that we are people who are generous. That we are thinking about the other, what we can give, because Jesus gave everything for us. In 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9, it says this, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that through his poverty, so that you through his poverty might become rich." Jesus came into the world, made himself nothing. Philippians talks about this as well, that Jesus made himself nothing, and that by giving himself for us, we are made rich, spiritually, financially, materially as well, in other ways, that Jesus gave things for us. And out of that sense of expression of thanks and love and honor to Jesus for all that he has done, we live lives of generosity. Yeah? That we are people who say, yes, I want to give not just my money, but it can be the concrete things of like our finances, yes, and our talents and the things that we're able to do, but also lives of generosity in the more abstract things. That we are people who are kind, patient, loving, that we don't just sort of go, oh, well, that's enough, or that's as much as I think that person deserves, but actually we go above and beyond, yeah? And something that happens within the early Christian communities when Paul is writing to them, in a world that they were in where people would expect something, if someone gave something, they would expect something in return. And there was this whole thing about the way that people gave a gift and then in time someone would respond. But Paul writes to these early churches, places like Romans and Corinthians, and he's talking about different gifts that people have. And he doesn't say, oh, when you share something, just make sure someone gives something back to you. He's saying, when you share freely. because you've been blessed, and now you can pay it forward. Bless other people with your gifts, your time, your talents, your energy, but all sorts of ways that we can be generous to one another. But one of those ways that we show our generosity is through our giving. And so before we kind of get into principles that I want to share with you this morning, I just want to lay a bit of a foundation. I realize that when you start talking about money, it's one of those subjects that people might get a little nervous about. So we're all going to breathe a sigh of relief, okay? It's all right. And you can be with me, all right? It's one of those areas that God has had to challenge me on many times. It's a good job Dina's not here this morning, because she'll be saying to me after, are you listening to yourself? We've had many, many conversations in our house about generosity, all right? Because Dina is the sort of person just loves to be generous. It's like one of her gifts. If she had all the Compassion Children, she'd be like, can we sponsor them all? And I'd be like, no, we've got a mortgage. And so we have many conversations like that. So, okay, so some of you, you're going to be with me. We're all going to do this together. We're going to be all right. Okay, so when it comes to generosity, I think we can go one of two ways when we hear about giving and finances in church. One way is to kind of pull out the verses where God talks, or the Bible talks about money and giving and being generous, and we hang it on like spiritual principles. When I was younger in church, we would have this moment in our service, we kind of post-COVID don't do it so much now, where the leader, the host, whoever would say, you know, let's bring our tithes and offerings to the Lord. Which all sounds well and good, but it's kind of, what does that mean? We're bringing our money to the Lord, like this, like God's going to take it. But we don't do that. We put it in a bank, and we have a treasurer, and we have a board, and leaders, and people who decide how we're spending the money. But we can kind of make it this spiritual thing, and that's fine, because that's part of it. But if we're not careful, we sort of stray into this kind of what I call spiritual arm twisting, you know, and I've been in those services where people are like, come on, give, God deserves everything, and you feel like people are kind of just pushing you a bit too much. The other side of it is to go down the purely practical route, which a lot of churches do. You know, well, we've got a need. We need to fix the leaky roof, so we're going to have an offering, and we'll put a thermometer on the church wall outside so everyone can see how much we've raised. Yeah, you with me on that sort of thing? And it stays at like that for ages until someone just thinks, let's get this done. Here's the money, and it's done. And kind of, I kind of like that, you know, don't do the whole spiritual, hey, God wants you to give. Just tell me the need and we can support it. But I think in both of those cases, we can end up in a bit of guilt-induced giving. You know, come on, people, give. This is what God expects from you. Or, come on, people, give. We've got bills to pay. And I don't think that's really the attitude, the approach that we should have when it comes to our giving. Because actually, there are principles in Scripture, which we'll see from 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, where actually the Bible shows us that it is good for God's people to give towards those who serve and lead in church. It's kind of two things, really. Those who are ministers of the word, the Bible talks about supporting them, and also to ministry. Now, ministry for us today is very complex in a 21st century world. They had house churches back then. That's what they did. But here, we've got buildings, we've got all sorts of things that go on, and it requires our financial giving. But we approach it in a way that says, as God's people, we're taking responsibility for what we're a part of. We don't charge people to come. We don't say, you know, like if I'm a member of another club, I might have my subs to pay, you know, my membership subscription. But we don't do that. That's not how we operate. But we do encourage people to have an attitude that says, as I am part of this, and what we are doing for God's kingdom in Scunthorpe, North Lincolnshire, I want to be someone who gives towards what is happening. And this is what Paul says. So let's just read a few verses before that one I just read a moment ago in 2 Corinthians 8, 9. So Paul says, and now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. And they did not do as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us in keeping with God's will. So we urge Titus, since he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part. But just as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in your love for us, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. I'm not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. This is why I love Paul. We might need to circle back to this verse at some point. But anyway, but I'm not commanding you, but I'm testing and comparing you. Anyway, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. We don't do that, okay? We're not going to have an offering at the end and then just see who's most generous. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. Paul encourages the believers living in poverty, but actually to share with those around. They have a need over there. We can meet that need. And in time, you might be the one in need, and other churches will share with you. We take responsibility for what we are doing together as God's people. And Paul encourages them, just as you excel, what's he say, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in earnestness, and in your love, see that you also excel in the grace of giving. I want to encourage us this morning that we, as God's people, thinking about restarting, thinking about this new season, that as well as excelling in our Bible reading, in our prayer, that we also are people who excel in the grace of giving. And that we are looking to grow and stretch ourselves in this area just as much as we would do in other areas. We can, you know, it's not about giving everything, but saying, do I need to just empty my bank account today? No, that's not what we're talking about. But we're saying, God, where is there an area where maybe I need to have that stretch, that encouragement to go further in what I'm doing? And we've heard already when we've been talking about prayer, when we've been talking about reading the Bible, that our attitude determines our approach. And it's exactly the same thing when we talk about giving, that our attitude determines our approach to it. If we feel like, oh, I don't really want to do this, but actually, oh, I feel I should. But actually, God, out of what you have blessed me with and what I am a part of, God, I want to excel in the grace of giving. So there are a few things, a few principles, and we'll look a little bit more at what Paul says in Corinthians, in his earlier letter, actually, in 1 Corinthians, but also later on in chapter 9. Three principles that I think, for me, when I approach the subject of giving and what I think about, how I think about doing it is this: regular, generous, sacrificial. And that's what I want to talk about this morning, that in our giving, that we are regular, generous, sacrificial. Okay? Everyone with me? Yeah, good. All right, so first of all, regular. Earlier on in 1 Corinthians, Paul writes to the church and he says to them, each of you should set aside an amount each week and bring that as an offering. Now, in that context, what he's doing is he's going to have a collection for the church in Jerusalem. So when they set aside a bit and they collect it together, and then his plan is to come along and take it, collect it for them, and then take it to the church in Jerusalem. But although we're not doing it exactly like that, the same principle applies. That we set aside, because like any good habit, prayer, Bible reading, giving, whatever we're doing, any good habit, if we are waiting for the perfect moment, you know, when all the things align and I've got enough money or I've got enough time on my hands or everything's worked out, then I'll give. Guess what? We will never do it. So like any habit, we need to make a decision that we are going to start. And that can be in the spiritual things, it can be in the normal, natural, everyday things as well, that we will say, I'm going to get started. The problem is with saving, thinking, well, you know, when we have enough money, I'll start giving then, is that that time will never come. You know, we're always saving for a rainy day, but I found that it's raining every day. Yeah? Raining literally today. So there's always something, okay? I've had to learn this lesson. And I've got to be honest with you, like, getting older and doing this thing called being an adult, it's not fair, is it? It's like you save up your money and there's these nice things that you want and then you take the car for an MOT. Are you with me? Like, we had our car through the MOT this week, and like, if you want to see how I pray, you want to see a man of faith, it's when my car goes in for the MOT. So I'm like, Lord, please let it pass just another year because Christmas is coming and I don't want to have to have a bill. And then the phone rings and I'm answering it, dreading what they're going to say. It's like, it's passed. Phew. But there are a few things that we can do for you if you want. No, because I don't want to have to spend money that I don't have to, absolutely have to. It's like, I know what it's like. There's always something. So thankfully, our car passes MOT, praise the Lord. But there's always something to fix in the house, school uniform to pay for. There's always things going on. So if we're waiting for the perfect moment when we've paid everything off and when we're financially like everything's all secure and stable, then I'll start giving. We'll never start giving. We have to make a choice that God, I'm going to start the habit. And that, like most habits that we've been, the other things that we've been talking about, we don't go from here and then make a massive leap to, you know, I'm going to give all of this. But we start somewhere. Read a chapter of the Bible. Pray for 5 minutes a day. Give something. You know, and so I encourage us, make it a habit in your life. If we're waiting for the perfect moments, if we're waiting for the right things to come along, the chances are we're never going to start. So we make it a habit in our lives. We make it something that is part of our regular service to God. So regular. Second thing is generous. Let's skip down a few verses. Chapter 9, verse 6. Remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give, or each person should give what they have decided in their own heart to give. Not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way, so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ. And for your generosity in sharing with them, and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Paul's given us giving the church there a few instructions about giving. And he says this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what they have decided in their own heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. Like I say, I've been in those services where you've got the offering talk and there's all these verses being trotted out and You know, I don't think it's a good idea for us to be deciding in a moment like that when emotions are heightened and, you know, the appeal's being put out, because God says each person should decide in their own heart what to give ahead of time. You know, we don't make snap decisions. It's not usually a good idea. So actually, God wants to work with us in this. But the principle that Paul is bringing out is that actually, with our income, with our finances, that there's some that we need for living, of course. We need the seed. We need actually the day-to-day, the money that we need to have. But there's also some within what we have through which we can be generous. That God has given us enough so that we can be generous towards others. And so as well as our regular giving, I want to encourage us this morning to be people who are generous, looking for ways to share out of what we have been given. And God, like I say, wants to partner with us in this. That it's not just God tell me how much I should give, but we look. And I think there is a responsibility for us in handling our finances, in how we look at what we have, that we're people that, you know, and I'm someone, again, who likes to budget. I know where every penny is. I can account for it all. And some of us might be like that. That's absolutely fine. But there's also that sense in which God is able to go over and above. You see, with generosity, it's not just looking about how much we have, but trusting in the one who is able to meet our needs. Amen? That there is something about the God, or that we worship a God, we serve a God who is able to go over and above what we seem to have in the natural. So what I've had to learn with the giving is to, when I've got to the end of where I'm at, you know, when I've done all the budgeting and I've worked everything out, but actually to say, God, I now trust you in this situation. I now have faith to believe that God, even though I don't understand, and even though maybe I can't see how this is all going to work out, I'm trusting you, because guess what? God is our Heavenly Father. He knows our needs. He cares for us. And for some of us, I think that step is not one of, I'm now going to give money, but in our heart to make a decision, God, I'm going to trust you in this. That it's not about the amount, all right? It's not necessarily, it's not about like, you know, give X amount. But it's about, God, I'm trusting you and taking a step of faith in this. And I'm going to trust that as I step out in faith, and again, it could be in all sorts of ways that we serve God, I'm going to trust that you will meet my need in this. Looking for ways to be generous. Looking for ways for us to step out and honor God. Because it says here, if we sow sparingly, we'll reap sparingly. But if we sow generously, so we've got bread for food. We have the stuff that we need for our everyday. We need the bread to live. But God has also supplied us with seed. And we can look for ways that, God, I want to sow that seed. I want to put it in places where, God, I can see you not only being a blessing then to that ministry, but also I trust that as I sow, I will also reap in time. We look at our money, we look at the budgets, we do the diligent thing of handling our finances well. But there's also that element where we as people of faith are ones who say, God, I am now trusting you in this. I'm taking a step of faith to go out. So there's regular giving, starting the habit, making a decision, generous giving, trusting and having faith. God, I'm doing this, and as I do, I'm trusting that you will meet the need in time when I have it. And then finally, sacrificial. Something I've found talking to lots and lots of people is this. Everybody is busy and everybody wants more money. All right, if I talk to anybody in the world ever, I think, I'm sure, it'd be like, how's things going? Busy. We're all busy. We all want more money. Of course we do. But the question is, busy doing what? And what do we want more money for? You see, like, we can find ourselves spending time on all sorts of things. They're like, oh, I've had a really full day, but is it really, like, that important? I don't know. We have to decide what we value, and it's the same when it comes to our finances as well. You know, people are like, oh, there's no way I can give, but we'll think nothing of needing the latest iPhone or whatever. It's like, it's one of those things that we value things differently. But there's something, again, within our Christian life, within our journey of faith, that there are moments, not all the time. I don't think that this is how we live all the time, but there are moments where we are called to sacrifice something. That this is what I would really want to do, but actually, God, I'm offering it to you. This is how, you know, I would love to have these things over here. I would love to be able to do this. But God, I'm prepared to make the sacrifice. I'm prepared to take a step of faith. And I am willing to lay down what I want because I trust you for something greater. In the Old Testament, there's a rather odd story. Again, we could dig into it more another time. But Abraham, the great patriarch of the faith, he's old, he has no children. And God promises him that he's going to have numerous descendants. That there's going to be a great nation. And God promises him that he will have a son. And in God's time, he does. And God then asks him to sacrifice that son. And Abraham, and there's lots that we could get into in that text about what it means and how that's happening, but Abraham is willing to lay down, and God comes in. And he doesn't have to go through with it, but God sees the faith that he has. And I wonder, are we people who are saying, God, I'm willing to lay down what I really want. I'm willing to lay down the things that I have because I'm trusting you for something greater. Because I'm believing that here in this moment, this is my natural desire, but actually, I'm trusting you for something greater to come. And I think there are moments within our giving where there is something where we are called to be sacrificial. That God, I'm giving this instead of doing this. I'm offering this to you. And I don't think it's just in our giving either. But in all areas of our life, as we think about this restart season, a new season, you know, like kind of September, things restart, new season of church life. We make that commitment again to God. We reaffirm that same sense of God, all that I have is yours. What I have, I offer to you. Not just our finances, though that's part of what we're talking about this morning. But our time, our talents, our service, all that God has blessed us with, we say, God, I'm offering it to you. I want it to be used for you, for your glory, for your honor. And so it might be that for, as we've been talking about giving, that we want to say, God, that's what I'm going to do today. I hold on to these things. I hold on to it. And I get it. The current economic climate, there's all sorts of questions. So I'm not trying to be flippant. Please don't hear as if like, oh, just do this, everything will be fine. No, no, no. We've got to be diligent. God knows where we're at. But we can say, God, I'm offering it to you. I want to have faith in my finances. But it extends to other areas as well. When we're thinking about the ways that we serve, the ways that we can be a part of this church community. Say, God, I'm offering it to you. My gifts, my abilities, I'm putting them into your hands. And when we do that, I believe that God takes us, takes those things, and is able to bring increase, and we are able to see greater blessing because we've offered them up to God. Amen? I just wonder, as we draw this to a close, maybe if we could all stand together, just as the band come up. And I just want to invite us to just close our eyes for a moment. And if you feel comfortable to raise your hands where you are, this can be a sign of surrender to raise our hands. But it can also be a sign of offering. God, I'm offering what I have to you. And in these few moments, I want to invite us to offer what we have. I know the challenge when it comes to money. When it comes to finances, that if I personally, me, Mark, in my own natural understanding, could hold on to things, I will. But I want to offer it to God. Have faith, God. We trust in you, our Heavenly Father who meets our needs. But maybe there are other things as well. That you need to offer afresh to God. God, this talent that I have, I offer it afresh to you. Use me, God. The time that I have, how I spend the time in my week, I offer it to you, God. And maybe there are things that will flow out of that where changes need to be made. Father God, we as your people offer who we are and what we have to you. As Paul invites the church in Romans to do, we offer ourselves as living sacrifices. And we trust it into your hands, Father, that you may lead us and guide us in your ways. And maybe today, this morning, you're here in church, maybe been coming for a while, Maybe this is your first time. The first step that we need to take is to put our trust in Jesus. And maybe you're here today and you've never made that decision to say yes to following Jesus. But right now, in this moment, you're saying, that is what I want to do. I want to start that life of faith. I want to know what it is to follow Jesus, to be a disciple of Jesus. And if that's you, then before you leave here today, grab someone that you can come with. There's a banner at the back that says, need to talk. Go and talk to somebody about what it means to say yes to Jesus, to know what it is to have new life in Him. Father God, we thank You because You did not withhold from us, but You sent Your Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus, we thank You that You stepped out of the glory and majesty of heaven for our sakes. You became poor, You became nothing. Humbled Yourself to the point of death on the cross. But You were raised, and You won that victory over sin and death, that we can have freedom and new life in You. Jesus, we thank You for the gift of salvation. And we want to live our lives patterned after You, following You, honoring You, for Your glory, Jesus. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from New Life in North Lincolnshire. To find out more, do visit us online at newlifechurch.uk, or why not pay us a visit? We'd love to see you.